If you brought your Bibles, would you open up to Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 20?
Where did you say?
Matthew chapter 11, New Testament.
Thank you.
Bill, I wasn't nailing you, but I know it's so. I always pick on someone, you know. Before we do this, let's open with a word of prayer, please. Father, we ask your blessing on this time together here at Capernaum. We ask that you would speak to us again, that your word would become alive in our souls. And Father, that none of us would ever leave here unchanged. Our prayer, Lord, is that as we open up your word, that something would happen, that we'd become closer to you, that we'd be drawn into intimacy with you. And Father, that our lives might reflect what a disciple of Jesus Christ means. Bless these things in Jesus' name, amen. In verse 20, it begins, then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. What we have here is the omniscient God, second person in the Trinity, knowing all the what ifs, what could have been, what should have been. And the miracles that Jesus performed in the land of Capernaum, and in all of them, Chorazin, and they're all in the areas of Galilee. The hardening of one's heart is a dangerous thing. It causes a person to stop listening to wise counsel. And regardless of the circumstances, they follow whatever plan they devise. And the scripture is full of a lot of examples, from the first murderer to Pharaoh to Saul and other kings. In the case of Capernaum, this small city had hardened their heart to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I look at when the Jews were put into the peninsula, and they were Pharaoh was coming to get them. And God set that up to show it into display his glory. But if I saw God part the waters, and there was a wall of water on my left and a wall of water on my right, and I walked down the middle, and then saw God destroy the Pharaoh, wouldn't that be enough for the rest of your life? They get 3 days into it, and they're like complaining. Here's some of the miracles that Jesus did in Capernaum. The healing of the demon-possessed man, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the curing of many illnesses and demon possessions, they just lump them all together. A leper was healed, a paralytic man healed at the home of where Jesus lived. Various healings. Jesus calms the storm at sea. Miraculous catching of the fish. A woman with blood issue when she touched the fringe of Jesus. Jesus raises a girl from the dead. Jesus heals two blind men. A demoniac was healed. Couldn't speak because of the demon. A man with a withered hand was healed. And Jesus always waited to the Sabbath to do it, just to, you know, get the Pharisees. He also had to pay a poll tax. So he said, all right, go down, catch a fish. You'll have some coins in the mouth. Go give it to him. Well, that's a good one. The healing of the nobleman's son. You look at these things. I've seen miracles in my life. I've experienced them. But honestly, I don't think I've ever experienced them like this. What's great, though, is that I don't think I need them. I don't. I've seen the miracle God has done in my life. And I'm not the same man I was 28 years ago. Still got some great jokes, but and you see the various healings and the various miracles and things like that, that they just lumped all together. What we have in recorded in Scripture is just an example of what was going on. How could Jesus change the world? And he did it by what he did. Matter of fact, when they were accusing him in John chapter 8, and in chapter 10 also, so which one of the good deeds are you going to accuse me of? They said, not your good deeds, but you being a man claim to be God. It didn't click. You know, Jesus raised somebody from the dead and they get angry. In Capernaum, Jesus did this everywhere. And the major point here is that Christ gave the people of Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida more evidence and proof of who he was than anywhere, even preaching the renowned Beatitudes here. Comparing Chorazin and Bethsaida to Tyre and Sidon shows the arrogance and stubbornness these cities must have had, given that this was the downfall of these two ancient cities. Tyre's evil is listed in Ezekiel as an arrogance and pride, and was finally destroyed by Alexander the Great in 333 BC. Which was really, did you guys know that when he did that, he offered them a chance to surrender and he would have been okay? They said no. So he actually built a land bridge to it, half a mile out to sea. And it still exists today, that now it's a peninsula. That's amazing. Sidon was completely destroyed by Artaxerxes, and its destruction was also prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 28. Capernaum has also been abandoned, starting with an earthquake in 746. And since that time, very little reconstruction has occurred. Comparing them to Sodom, though, is striking given the level of discipline that the Lord God rained down on the city. In all three cities, Jesus said that they would have repented if the miracles that were done in the Capernaum, Chorazin, and Sidon, if those miracles had occurred in those ancient cities, that they would have still existed. Which is very condemning to those cities. I'd like to point out also that there was a fourth city that is mentioned for its continued doubt and disbelief, and that was the city of Nazareth. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Verses 53 through 58. This is Jesus' hometown. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. He came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his brothers, are they not all with us? Or sisters? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household." And he did not do many miracles there because of his unbelief, of their unbelief. What was amazing, though, as I was digesting this, was that Jesus wanted to do miracles. He wanted to bless them. But because of the rebellion, because of their unbelief, he couldn't. As parents, when you had children, wouldn't it be great if it was good for them that we could just buy them everything they wanted? Because that's my motivation, is to do whatever I can to make them happy, because we love them. And but it isn't good to do that all the time. It's not how the world works. But I would love to. And there's been many times that I wanted to bless my children, but because of maybe a state they were in, or a little bit of rebellion in them or whatever, that I had to withhold that kind of a blessing, even though that I really wanted to give it to them. And I know that's how Jesus felt. Like anything could limit Jesus's power, you know. In today's common TV evangelism kind of thing, where you have that health, wealth, prosperity movement, and you weren't saved because of your faith. It really was the opposite all through Scripture. Jesus did things to show them who he was. because they had no faith. But these people, not only they, it's not that they didn't have faith as much as they wouldn't have faith. And he wanted to bless them, but he couldn't. So, as many times that the Lord leads us through the valleys of our life to test us, the last point I want to make is that how often do we lead, and how many times do we not trust our God? How many times do we limit the Lord in our life? And I'm standing guilty before you here that it boggles my mind how much one day I guess I'll find out what we could have had, what we should have had. But because of my unwillingness in some area, what the Lord would have done in my life, I really wish that I continue to change, that we all do, to come closer to our God, and that we can glorify Him with the time that He's given us here on this earth. Which brings me to my final, last note. Think of the countless blessings our Lord has given us already. And we live in a land called the United States of America. And I think we're guilty. I think Jesus would right now be screaming at the United States saying, "Woe! Woe to you, United States of America."
Amen.
Because we have turned our backs. And we have come from what once made us great. And we've turned our backs on it. And how apropos, given what's going to happen tomorrow. And I've resolved in my heart that whoever's president, I will honor them, and I will accept it. And I'll tell you why, because the Lord, we don't deserve another time of a blessing, of trying to turn us back at least to what we were founded on. We don't deserve it. If the man, President Barack Obama, is reelected, I will honor him, and he will be God's chosen for the United States, because that's what we deserve. And I mean, this is not a rant against this man. I really mean it. Two different philosophies, but I think it's spiritual underlying is what the cause is. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, towards the end, I put down it reads, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." And in the economy of God, when we are blessed the way we have, if we are not glorifying him with it, we're as bad as Capernaum, Chorazin, and Sidon. Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we do thank you that you have brought us to this point. This is blessing beyond anything we can describe, the fact that we're even allowed to be here. How many people will live their lives and never be able to come over and do what we're doing and enjoying and actually seeing where your son Jesus Christ walked, taught, and changed everything. Help us, Father, to receive this blessing, and that we might return to our homes more motivated, invigorated, to serve the rest of our lives, glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen.